Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
And I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between, which is a lot of things.
That is a lot of things, yes.
And guys, I'm really, really excited. This is a series where we're going to talk about something that I just studied for my master's in ministry. It's a survey of Christian dating. I just sent a survey out to Christian millennials, over 150 of them, and just wanted to get their opinions and thoughts and to research what we as believers think about God's word when it comes to how we treat people, how we date, how we, you know, relate to one another. And it was fascinating to me because I found millennials are really confused about this topic. A lot of us have opinions and thoughts and are very confused about what, like, does God have an opinion about dating? Dating is not biblical, right? But it's in the Bible. Or is it in the Bible?
Or maybe we should go back to arranged marriages.
Yeah, well, someone brought that up. You know, someone actually brought that up, how, you know, well, they were, I guess, critiquing the Bible, but they thought, yeah, how evil and mean it was for God to tell Israel to have arranged marriages based on the culture. And anyway, so for the next foreseeable futures of these podcasts, we're going to tackle some of these really kind of hard but also confusing issues that Christians are dealing with. And I don't think it's limited to singleness or marriage. Half of them were married, half of them were single. And even there are some divorced millennials that took the survey. And we thought it would be really helpful to kind of dive in before we get into some of the questions, like, you know, who should initiate first? Who's responsible for leading someone on? And all these other questions about Christian dating. We want to get to the heart of the issue. And part of that is, what does it mean to guard the heart? That was one of the questions in the survey. And my goodness, some of the people just hated that. A lot of Christians hate that term. I mean, guard your heart, terrible phrase. Some people were actually pretty mean in their responses. But we want to talk about what that means, and not just what it means to us, but what it means to God, and why is guarding the heart a big deal?
Yeah, what is the heart? Why is it worth guarding? How do you guard it? I mean, some of those kind of questions. I mean, when we talk about Jesus, life, and everything between, you know, life is about Jesus, and then our life, and then everything between really revolves around people. Almost everything that we do involves people, relating to people, people mad, relationships. We go out and about during the day with people. Nobody wakes up and says, I want to be alone and stay alone and never interact with people. Yeah. I mean, maybe someone thinks that. I mean, you might need an hour or a day or
sure.
a weekend
to just recharge,
to recharge or recoup. Yep. But really, when you want to punish somebody, you isolate them. Mm, you know, you put them in solitary confinement, prison.
Yeah.
You know, you put them all alone for a long period of time. We cannot handle that. We are relational by design. That is our nature, to be relational. Mm-hmm. But that's not an accident. I mean, where does that design come from? Why are we relational? I mean, what do you think, Toby?
Yeah, well, we have a relational God, right? And we're made in his image. And so it would make sense for a relational God who makes beings who are an image of him to also be relational.
To be relational. Well, so when we think about relationships, think about whether it's, you know, men, women, dating, marriage, all those things. You see, people are God's idea.
That's true.
Men were God's idea. Women were God's idea. Putting men and women together was God's idea. Mm. Marriage was God's idea. Relationships are God's idea. This is his idea and his design. And his ideas and design are good and beneficial and full of blessing. Mm. So all the angst and all the pain that we experience isn't God's design. It isn't God's intention. And so to explore some of these questions, I think, will really be helpful. Because we want to go back to what does God think, and let's try to understand his perspective, what he purposed for us, his design for us, so that we can experience the blessing that I think God intends in relationships, whether that be friendship, the blessing of just being neighbors with someone, the blessing of just being in a society with other people. The blessing of being in a family, the blessing of being in a church, the blessing of being in a culture with all of its uniqueness and all of its just cultural distinctives. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is God's design.
Yeah. Well, and that was interesting, too, throughout the survey, 50 questions, right? So what is that, 50 times 150 plus people? We had so many different answers, and one of the things that really shocked me were that these Christians thought God did not have an opinion about dating because dating's not in the Bible. And where our opinions aren't necessarily bad or wrong to have, to base our life and how we treat people and how we interact with other Christians based on our opinions and not truth is very dangerous. So I'm excited to start, you know, diving into this idea. We want to start with guarding your heart. So let's talk about what it means to guard your heart.
Talk about what it means to guard our heart. So we probably will spend several podcasts on this. This was probably part one of guarding the heart, and probably a good starting place. It's really just to talk about what is the heart. So when you hear the heart, you know, what comes to mind?
Oh, well, I would say Valentine's Day or chocolates, but I think of emotions, feelings. I think of, you know, personal attachment, desires, in some cases an organ.
Your blood pumping organ.
Right.
Yeah. What are some of the ways that we use the word heart?
Yeah. Well, I love you with all my heart. You know, my heart is happy. My heart is empty.
Yeah, you can tell when someone's heart is not in it.
Sure, broken heart.
Broken heart.
Yeah, relationships, breakups.
Yeah. Give it, you know, all your heart.
Yeah, right. Yeah, do it with all your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do we mean by when we say these things?
You know, I think it probably depends on the person, but generally speaking, I would say it's like the core of who you are. It is the, maybe not the embodiment. Embodiment?
Imminent embodiment.
I
don't know, what does your heart tell you?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My perspective, to be all that I am to something, to give myself fully.
Sure. Yeah. We hear this in movies all the time today. Like, what does your heart tell you?
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. Follow your heart.
Follow your heart. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when we're watching a movie and someone is making horrible, horrible choices, but the person giving the advice doesn't want to offend them, and so they say, "Just what does your heart tell you?" Or just follow your heart. And I don't know if you have this experience, but on occasion when I'm watching a movie and I hear that, and I see that the choices they're making are destructive, I almost cringe a little bit when I hear them say, "Follow your heart." No, follow reality.
Right? Yeah.
Follow the truth. Yeah.
Follow your heart.
That guy is not good for you. How can you not see that? You know, the whole audience watching this movie can see it, but your friend says follow your heart. Well, no.
The problem with that is if people didn't follow the heart, there wouldn't be any soap operas. You know, all the dramas created.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I woke up and I was just a good person and faithful to my friend today, and then I went to sleep at night. Yeah, that's not a good story.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not a good
Nobody
show.
Wants to watch that. Yeah. Even though that really would make life a lot more peaceful and maybe meaningful and purposeful and full of joy. But yeah, so follow your heart. We throw that word around, that phrase around a lot in our culture. And so we understand that. Mm-hmm. But when we think of the heart and when the Bible speaks about the heart, it's talking about who we are, our inner person, that part of us that is us.
Yeah, that core.
Yeah, so that core thing. It involves your emotions, and sometimes it involves your thinking or your mind.
Mm-hmm. Your worldview.
Yeah, it's used in a lot of different ways. Your values, your motivations, all those things, that part of you that's you. That part of you that's on the inside, the heart of a person. And so, you know, it's used, you know, in a lot of different ways in the Bible in this way. The first time that the heart actually comes up in the Bible is in Genesis.
Genesis
chapter 6. Do you remember?
Early.
Yeah. So Genesis chapter 6, do you remember what kind of one of those big Sunday school stories?
Yeah.
It's one of the big ones. It's like one of the big ones with like a big boat and a lot of water.
Lots of animals. Yeah. Noah.
Noah.
Yeah, I know a guy.
Noah and the flood. Yeah, so what preceded that, it says in chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart," the perspectives or the thoughts or the ideas of his heart, which is interesting that the heart has ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So the heart is not just the emotion, but it's like kind of summarizing who you are as a person, like the core of you, which involves your feelings, your emotions, but also your mind and your will. So he says every inclination of the thoughts of his heart, the heart of men, was only evil all the time.
Ouch.
Was only evil all the time. Now, that is really a comprehensive statement. Often we don't want to go to extremes because we can always find an exception, right? Well, the one exception was Noah, that Noah was found to be righteous. But the rest of humanity at that time was only evil all the time.
Wow.
In the very next verse, it says, in verse 6, it says that the Lord was grieved, right? So just that concept that the Lord was sad, that he was grieved, that he had made man on the earth, and his heart and God's heart was filled with pain.
Wow. So God's heart
Hurt. So God's heart was hurt.
Because man's heart was bad.
Because man's heart was bad. Yeah. When the Bible speaks about man, and in Genesis chapter 1, that mankind, men and women, were created in God's image. We were created with this capacity to love and to be loved, to relate, to have a will, to express, come together. So when, in chapter 2 of Genesis, when Adam, before Eve was created, one thing that was not good was that Adam was all alone. Even though he had all the rest of the animal kingdom and everything else was created, that God saw that this was not good. Because Adam did not want have someone, a complement, to share life with. And isn't this the whole point of relationships? We want to share life with someone.
Yeah.
So we get on the internet and we see a funny meme or, you know, some, you know, TikTok video. We watch it, but what's the next thing we think of?
Who can I send this to?
Yeah, I know who would really enjoy this. Right. Or man, this reminds me of my brother. Or, you know, or see, we wanna share.
Yeah.
We wanna share. Part of what it means to relate is to share my life with someone, to share my life experiences, to think together and to experience together. Adam had God, so he had that relationship. But who does Adam share his experience of God with, if that makes sense?
Yeah, right. Who does Adam share his humanity with?
Right.
That's the someone that's like him. It's Eve.
Yeah. So when you see something fun or funny or something, you want to go share it with somebody.
Right.
You see something amazing, right? You go outside tonight, and the northern lights come all the way down here to Iowa, and and it's just the sky is just lit up, and you've never seen that here before, and it's just amazing. You want to take pictures of it, but then you want to send those pictures to someone. Maybe grab someone, say, "Hey, come experience this with me."
Mm-hmm.
What is more amazing than God Himself?
Yeah.
And Adam had this relationship with his Creator. And his Creator, who is awesome, his Creator, who is amazing, and who does Adam then grab to come experience God together with?
Right, he brings Eve, he brings his wife.
Yeah, this is why it was not good that Adam was alone. Mm-hmm. And so God, in his design, created men in his image, created women in his image, and together they uniquely, in a sense, image the relational capacity of God together.
Right.
Which is why we're drawn to relationships, which is why we need people.
And it's why we want to share our hearts with someone. We want to connect on an emotional...
So we want to share our hearts. If my heart is the center of my life, and I want to share my life with you, I share parts of me with you, which is I share my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tell the people at Walmart when I'm just, you know, in the aisle shopping for my Cheerios, I don't tell them what is motivating me today to be at Walmart.
Right.
I'm not sharing those motivations of my heart with them. I'm usually saying, "Excuse me, can you please move?"
Yeah. Or can you reach that?
Can you reach that? Or boy, are these prices going up? I mean, I'm not sharing big chunks of my life with them. But the closer you are with someone, the more you want to share the big chunks of your life with them. And so this is why the heart, we talk about the heart, and what is the heart? It is who I am. It is who I am. And what is fascinating is that God also has a heart.
Yeah.
You know, and so our heart is after his heart. His heart can be pained. He wants to share. He wants to relate to us. He created us for that purpose. The problem is that his heart is pure and holy, and my heart and our hearts are not. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful. The heart of man is deceitful and be above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? In other words, my heart is deceitful and beyond cure. My heart is sinful. I have a sinful heart. The word deceit is interesting because my sinful heart deceives me.
Right, self-deceiving.
Self-deceiving. So do I even know what my true motivations really are? Do I really know how to categorize my emotions? Right? Is this really love or is it envy? Is it jealousy or is it self-preservation or is it self-sacrifice? How do I really know? So going back to Genesis, the Lord saw that the hearts of men, the inclination of their hearts was only evil all the time. And God's heart was grieved and it was pained. And so the heart, when we talk about the heart and the verse, when we talk about guarding the heart, the main one is Proverbs 4:23, above all else, you know, or, you know, of all the things you can do to guard or protect your heart, for it is the wellspring of life, for it is your life. Our heart is our life. It is who we are, but our hearts are sinful and self-deceiving. And so when we talk about this concept of guarding the heart, and as we we'll look probably next time about why guard the heart and, you know, how do we do that, we have to recognize that I don't always see my heart the way God sees my heart.
Right. We're quick to well, I guess, arrogant, be proud, to self-deceive ourselves. And our hearts are not as innocent as we might think they are.
No, we always tend to give ourselves higher marks. We're very subjective.
Yeah.
I mean, have you noticed how other people can see issues in my life that I can't see in my own life? We're looking at each other like, I mean, you know, why is that? It's because we have a hard time seeing the truth and reality in ourselves.
Well, even in the survey results, I saw, I mean, maybe 75%, if not more, people in the comments always blame their problems, their relational trauma, their bad experiences, the bad boyfriends, girlfriends they dated. They almost always said, I was deceived. They're the ones that did this to me. Almost no one took any responsibility. I made a bad decision.
Yeah, so it's really important for us to recognize that, you know, our hearts are sinful and self-deceiving, and yet our hearts have intrinsic and eternal value. I mean, this is why Jesus came and offered his life as a ransom or as a sacrifice. He gave his life in exchange for ours. Why? It's because of how valuable our hearts are. Because our hearts are us. That is the core of who we are.
So our wicked, self-deceived heart are valuable.
Yeah. And we'll get into this when we
get into the next
podcast, which is why we would guard it, right? We guard those things that are valuable.
Right. Yeah, so what's just the big idea then for this particular, you know, podcast? The big idea is that our hearts, well, one, we're made in the image of God. God has a heart, so humans do too, and that we are self-deceived. We can't trust our own hearts, that they're wicked, they're sinful. Although that might be the reality, that also means we should be humble when we talk about this topic. That we don't have all, you and I don't have all the answers, right?
No.
We are never far from being deceived ourselves.
Yeah, self-deception is not age-based or gender-based. You know, it is the reality of the sinful heart. And we can easily go astray. One of the verses in Proverbs 19:27, where Solomon says, when you stop listening to instruction, my son, you will stray from the words of knowledge. In other words, our hearts are always moving in a direction. We're always going somewhere. My life is always going somewhere. I'm either growing in a direction or I'm regressing in a direction. And when it comes to understanding my heart and the value of my heart in relationship to God, I'm always moving toward him or away from him. It's never neutral. Right. And this is where I think I'd mentioned this in a previous podcast, but, you know, God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. God mm-hmm. loves people. Or as Peter said in 2 Peter, that Jesus is slow in return because God desires all men mm-hmm. Come to repentance or have a repentant heart, right? So the hearts can repent or mm-hmm. change how we think. God loves us so much. His heart is for us.
Mm-hmm.
His heart is with us. He wants us to understand why he created us. He wants us to understand how much he loves us. He wants us mm-hmm. to understand how valuable the relationships in our world are that he's designed for us, and ultimately the relationship that he desires and ultimately wants for us, which is a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our mm-hmm. heart. This is why we say, you know, we pray a prayer and ask Jesus into our
heart.
Where does that phrase come from? I really don't like that phrase, but mm-hmm. the idea of it really is that I mm-hmm. am inviting Jesus relationally into the center of who I am mm-hmm. as a person. Mm-hmm. I want him to be relate to me and to come in mm-hmm. relationally. So
yeah. Well, there's a lot of hope in that, knowing that God values our hearts. Hence, that's why it's worth protecting. Sinful though it may be, God sees value in who we are. The core of who we are, people are important. And because people are important, our hearts, our passions, our desires, our perspectives, they matter. They matter to God, which is really cool. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to diving into the next couple podcasts here about what it means to guard our heart and the implications of that as Christians, as those who want to honor God with how we treat people, even when it comes to dating, and we'll get into that further down the road. But yeah, what does it mean to guard your heart? Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, Puma.
Well, it was great.
Guys, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out and email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear questions and maybe even talk about them here on the podcast. So thanks, guys, for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.